This is an hour into it, so there should be other slides.
Oh, IPM. Creative Pest Management. That's the way you have to address this situation. I mean, you can go ahead. That's kind of fun. That's part of the solution, but there are so many other ways to go ahead and address this, whether it's heat, whether it's education, whether it's trying to train or provide the information to the tenants so they can go ahead and address this situation within their own home. So, I'm encouraged by what those pilots are showing us. They do show that IPM is the way of the future. It's the way that we're encouraging all of our housing authorities to go in the future. So let me conclude. I appreciate very, very much. I've got Rachel Riley over here that is actually very much involved in what you're doing here, and Dr. Peter Ashley in my office, who is at the forefront. I'm not a scientist. I'm awed when I come in here and see so many doctors around, and I am grateful that y'all are doing the hard work that makes it so important, or helps me to go ahead and plan what we need to do in the future. So I look to you, and I appreciate what you're doing. If you look at the agenda, it is impressive as all get out, and I want to thank each and every one of you for coming with each of your individual talents to help us plot the way forward so we can go ahead and eliminate bed bugs in the future. Thank you very much.
And our final speaker is Dr. Sharunda Buchanan, the Director of the Division of Emergency and Environmental Health Services, the National Center for Environmental Health, the Center for Diseases Control and
Prevention. Yeah, okay, I guess that was right.
Well, I hope you feel welcome by now. Last but not least, I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband, I won't keep you long. I know you're anxious to really dig in and hear all the speakers, but like my colleagues on the stage, I'm extremely happy and extremely warmed and excited to be here to really hear about what we can do together, which I think is important, to really dig into this issue related to bed bugs. I want you guys to know how much I really wanted to be here. Last night I left my home, I picked up my son from school, and I got to the airport, and I had about an 8 o'clock flight because I wanted to be here and be here at 8:30 in the morning, and your friend said, it's 9 o'clock. Okay, I'll wait around. I'm sorry, but your 9 o'clock flight is canceled. Oh, no problem. I'll just wait around. There's a 10:15, I know. Yes, there's a 10:15, but around 10:15, they said that's canceled too. Okay, so I go back home. I put my key in the door. My husband rushes to the door. He thought I was a burglar. And he said, why are you here? I said, they said there are no more flights, but I really want to be there. He said, well, what are you going to do? They said there's a 6:25 a.m. flight. Okay, so I lay my head on the pillow about 12:30. About 3:30, I get up and I call. They said, call first. So I did. They said, I think we're leaving at 6:25. So I got there. And, of course, I left at 6:25 this morning to get here at 8:30 to be with you. Do I mean I wanted to be here this morning? I wanted to be here. So, again, I just wanted to thank EPA, USDA, HUD, and all of my colleagues. I'm just excited about being a part of this forum. I would like to take time to talk to each of you, if possible, over the next 2 days, just to hear what your stories are and hear what your issues are. We at the Centers for Disease Control are excited to actually think about what can be done related to this issue. I have with me, and I want you guys to know that they will be here for discussion as well, Captain Mike Herring, he's up here in the front wearing a really snazzy uniform. He's a part of the Commission Corps. He is actually in the National Center for Environmental Health with me. Work hard, as John said, to really put out trainings related to integrated pest management. He has a team of individuals, a great group of educators and experts in the whole issue of OSCIM training as it relates to entomology, and bed bugs is included in that area. And Mike will be here for questions and for discussions, as well as myself. And I'm also looking for Dr. Bob Wirtz. Is Bob here? Bob here is at our National Center for Global Health, which is a new center at CDC. We've done global health. Just formed it. And he will be here as well. Bob's excellent. He has type resistance. And he really wants to be at the table as we discuss this. So, as I said, I won't keep you long. I just want you to know that for us, we will be working with the members of the task force to figure out what we can do together. And I just want to say welcome, have a great conference, and we're excited. We're really excited.
All right, Senator, take the time to telephone, too, so I can actually take it with me when we go.
An effort to get here this morning. Get Summit off to a good start.
My dad at 8
will ask
put
our
phone on mute, please.
Facilitator Hibbler,
get better.
To come up.
He actually had two surgeries about 15 years apart.
Guests are leaving.
But he lived for 3 years.
Here.
Really scary, but I think they work better than the balloon.
I would like to begin by saying I am not a bed bug expert. But I am going to try to keep us sort of moving along and on schedule today. And one of the things I'd like to do is just provide a brief overview of where we're headed in the next 2 days. So in just a few moments, Lewis is going to give you a little bit more information on some of the findings and happenings that came as a result of the summit, the previous summit. The rest of the day will be a panel of experts that represent federal, state, local, military.
Your phone on mute by hitting *6. And folks, when you come on, please tell them to hit *6.
And directions for accessing.
Thank you.
Won't have a lot of time. You'll have 6 panels scheduled today, so we won't have a lot of time.
Oh, thank you.
But we have
thank you for holding.
Break in the afternoon and a lunch break where you will have ample time for dialogue. And
we appreciate your patience.
Morning.
Please continue to hold.
Out sessions. So we won't begin in this room. We'll begin in the smaller room. And you'll be given the opportunity to pick 2 topics that you're really eager to discuss and go into a breakout room to brainstorm recommendations in smaller
rooms. Thank you for holding.
In the afternoon tomorrow, we'll come back together in the plenary session, and we'll have presentations from the breakout
sessions. We appreciate your patience.
Everybody.
Please continue to hold.
Ultimately, the findings will be used by the work group to generate a national strategy on bedbug control. A couple things sort of in the housekeeping arena. If you haven't already done so, please put your phone
on
silent.
Thank you for holding.
Lunch tickets are available today. If you want to purchase a lunch ticket, they're $18, and they provide access to
it. We appreciate your patience.
Okay.
Please continue to hold.
Room, and they will be selling the tickets out by the registration table. They'll stop selling tickets at 11 a.m. So if you're interested in purchasing a ticket, make sure you do that before 11. And we also recognize that there's a lot of information that's going to be coming out.
Thank you for holding.
Probably also a lot of people you want to talk to today. So if you find yourself interested in having a side conversation, we just ask that you...
We appreciate your patience.
Plenary room.
Please continue to hold.
...than the other people in the audience. There's bathrooms on both sides as you exit the room, so they're pretty well marked. And with that, I will hand it over to Lois Rossi, who will give you a little bit more information about the last summit.
Thank you for holding. We appreciate your patience. Please continue to hold.
I'm just going to take a few minutes and recap from the last summit and some activities that have taken place since then. I think there's a big difference between this summit and the last summit.
We appreciate your patience.
It was sponsored by
you to hold.
And this one is sponsored by the Federal Bed Bug Work Group. So a lot of the recommendations that were made at the first summit were geared towards EPA. And I'm going to be presenting.
Thank you for holding.
Actions we've taken, but also there were a lot of recommendations at the last summit that were beyond EPA, beyond
we
the federal
appreciate your patience.
Stakeholder group.
Continue to hold.
And I think throughout the course of today, you'll be hearing from those various sectors on the progress that they've made. It's a little bit limited in the actions that we're taking and that the focus is EPA.
Thank you for holding.
But throughout this summit, you will hear from others. So it was to encourage communication. A lot of states.
We appreciate your patience.
About the problems they were facing. And we thought it might be a good idea to get everybody all in the same room and get some communication and dialogue started. So we developed, and the purpose was to develop recommendations on how we could address the many problems that
Thank
were
you for holding.
Bug resurgence. It was a combination, as the summit today will be, of plenary and work group sessions. We had work groups.
We appreciate your patience.
First
Please continue to hold.
All work groups were given the same assignment to look at five topics. We had research, role of government, and that included federal, state, and local, consumer education and communication, pest control, operator education and training, and the role of property.
Thank you for holding.
Property managers. For each of those topics, the work groups were asked to identify the most significant factors of the problem, identify and discuss options and solutions, and identify their work groups' recommendations. Then we compiled them and we discussed them in a plenary session. And again, all the recommendations were not for EPA or even for the federal government. With regard to research, we had, of course, the cry of funding research. And we have been able to, in this time of tight money, add some various grant programs that were funded for public outreach and workshops. And listed on the slide are three of the key examples, the publication of what's working in bug control in multifamily housing. Okay. That was done by the
Multifamily Housing. I had to click on, it was something.
$225,000 like, to states and.
Not here anymore, but it was here, and it said to click it.
Workshop.
Something kept flashing, but it didn't come in.
The whole message. And some of those efforts produced fact sheets. And information that you can find on our website as well as other websites. In addition, as was previously mentioned, we have allocated the $550,000 for bed bug education outreach with the emphasis on outreach in environmental justice communities, and we're expected to award that money within the next few weeks. There was also a focus on new and emerging technologies and techniques. Some new products have been registered. or bed bugs have been added to existing products. And then research is continuing to identify current registered products.
Please continue to hold.
Definitely we'll hear about that later today. Continuing on with the research part of the work groups demonstrate bed bugs are a public health problem. There was a lot of discussion at our last summit about whether they were considered a public health pest. They are. They actually have been. But to reinforce,
we appreciate
them,
your patience. Please continue to hold.
Center for Disease Control that confirms the recognition of the public health impact and that bed bugs are considered a public health pest, even though they don't vector disease. Review of pest control strategies, that was done in the National Center for
Thank
Health.
Thank you for holding.
And create a tracking system and clearinghouse. And our colleagues at the Armed Forces Pest Management Board did an inventory.
We appreciate your patience. Please continue to hold.
With regard to the role of government, I think one of the loudest things we definitely heard was that the federal government needs to coordinate and form a task force. So we formed the Federal Bed Bug Work Group. It was organized.
Thank you for holding.
August of 2009, and it has met mostly through teleconference. Although if we're all in the same
we
place,
we appreciate your patience.
We tend
Please
to have a meeting
to hold.
It has met pretty much consistently on a monthly basis, and certainly was instrumental. And I cannot thank those folks who are on that work group enough for
helping us get to this point today.
Thank you for holding.
Develop an EPA bedbug-specific website, which we did. It was released in May of 2010 and updated in June and October.
We appreciate your patience.
This is one of the visited websites that EPA has. When we updated it in October with a tool that you can search for products that are registered for bed bug control, I think within the first 10 days we had over 30.
Thank you for holding.
And then legislation. Bed bug certification for pest control operators. I think you'll hear later today on the many legislative efforts that have taken place in various municipalities in the country, as well as their progress on educating pest control operators. Again, with regard to the role of government, providing funding, we're trying to do that. You heard some of the other agencies in the introductory remarks this morning. It definitely times, but we're certainly trying to provide that funding and support for research, education, and training. Regulatory changes to streamline the registration process. We have made an EPA to expedite the registration process. It doesn't mean that the requirements aren't met or the safety finding still has to be made, but we are giving it attention and putting it through the process without delay. Recognizing public health, the bed bugs as a public health pest, I already touched on that. Supporting the IPM, our website has a lot of information focused and supportive of IPM techniques. And then the update of efficacy testing. We are looking at ways if a claim wants to be put on a product to address resistant strains, we're looking at modifying the protocols for the requirement of the efficacy testing for that. With regard to consumer education and communication, which I think a lot of progress has been made since the last Bedbug Summit, by just about every sector that's involved in dealing with bedbugs. But for EPA, we do have the website. We are in the process of producing a video, and we have fact sheets, or we have referenced some really good fact sheets, and are in the process of getting those translated into other languages. For PCO education and training, EPA is a little bit, there were a number of recommendations on this, and EPA is a little bit limited in its authority to require training because it really has the authority to require training for restricted use pesticides. But a lot of sectors have taken up this effort, and I think you'll hear about that today. And then the role of property owners and managers, those clearly were for the housing, and I've just listed them here. By the way, all these recommendations from the summit are on our website on the bed bug portion. You can click on it and get all the recommendations. But a lot of states and localities have been working on legislation and programs to address some of these needs. And I think the clearinghouse that we hope to have will allow communities to share their materials so that if a good fact sheet is developed by a state or a city, it can be easily found and identified and used by other localities that are faced with the problem and have a need for that type of material. So in summary, I think the presentations here today will address the progress made by many of the sectors since the last summit. The focus of our breakout groups tomorrow, which is really where I think the real hard work is to take place, is to identify the next steps that we need to take to address the knowledge gaps we have and develop a framework for addressing the needs and ultimately with the goal of coming out with a strategy. So that kind of summarizes where we were and a little bit of what we've done, and we hope that very productive. Our first bed bug summit was very productive. We hope this one is the same. So thank you very much.
I'd like to invite our first set of panelists up.
The first panel is the initiative and roles of local, state, and federal government. And if you could come up on the stage and have a seat. Okay, so our facilitator today is Dan Strickman, who's the Acting Director of the Overseas Biological Control Laboratories. You have a very long title. I'm going to stop right there. Is that okay? Our other panelists are Jean Harrington, Sharon Heath, and Liza Sleason. Let you elaborate on your intros a little bit more. And last but not least, am I on the wrong page here? Susan Jennings. Forgive me. And give me just a moment to have a word, a private moment with the panel.
Interesting question. It attempts to bring together a lot of different angles.
Of course, we must do that. R6,
who's director of government affairs for the National Pest Management Association, he's going to give us a whirlwind tour.
Get in here. I don't care. Get in here now.
Thanks, Dan. I first want to commend EPA and its federal partners.
Can you mute your phone, please? Stop
for
your dog barking.
I also want to express my appreciation on behalf of NPMA for the opportunity to present to you this morning. So with that, I'm going to dive right in. All levels of government, federal, state, and local, are looking at a myriad of ways to address the growing bed bug problem through either legislation or administrative rulemaking. But before I delve into some of the specific legislation that we're looking at right now, I really want to touch on some of the drivers, the five main drivers that are pushing public policymakers into advocating bedbug legislation or administrative rulemaking. I think the first and probably biggest driver is trying to establish some fiscal responsibility for paying for the problem. Many lawmakers are hearing from their constituents on fixed or lower incomes that are unable to afford the treatments for bed bugs or repeated treatments for bed bugs. And lawmakers are hearing from these individuals. They're hearing from these individuals that are unable to pay for the treatments, unable to pay for replacing the materials that they've had to dispose of because of bed bug infestations. And that's certainly, I think, the biggest driver. A second big driver is protecting a jurisdiction's hospitality or tourism industry. Certainly, there's an old advertising axiom that any publicity is good publicity, but I seriously doubt that the folks at AMC Theaters felt that when every reporter and his brother was appearing before their downtown Manhattan location to report about the bed bug infestation at that particular facility. So clearly, every jurisdiction has a vested interest in trying to protect their tourism and hospitality industries from being a bedbug destination. Thirdly, and another very important driver, is trying to provide additional tools to professionals who are combating bedbugs. And certainly there have been a number of jurisdictions that have been very steadfast in their dedication in trying to bring additional tools to the market. Fourthly, and I think this is going to become one driver that we're going to continue to see over the next few years, it's right to know. In the absence of a cost-effective silver bullet, many lawmakers are taking the attitude that the public has a right to know if there's been a bed bug infestation in a unit that they're about to rent, in a room they're about to rent, that they should be able to make an informed decision about the activity in which they're about to partake. This is certainly a major driver these days. And then lastly, but certainly not leastly, are some sanitation-related issues. First and foremost, protecting the workers that are picking up the trash and bulk pickup every day, making sure that they don't bring bed bugs to their home. And also, as far as sanitation, making sure that the secondhand mattress sanitation requirements are beefed up and contemporized to adequately address bed bug infestation. So with that, let me start diving right into some of the specifics. Just a quick overview. In 2010 and 2011, we had 11 states consider some sort of bed bug related legislation, and ranging geographically from Maine to Arizona, as well as politically, quite frankly. And as you can see, in between are Alabama, Connecticut, Illinois, New York, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and many of those bills are pending as I speak. And last year alone, Illinois, Maine, and New York all passed some sort of bed bug legislation, and I'll get into the specifics of those. And as far as local government activity, we certainly have seen a lot of local government activity as well over the past 3 or 4 years. Certainly New York City has done quite a bit, and I know Sharon's going to talk at length about that. But San Francisco in 2006, its Department of Health passed a fairly extensive bed bug regulation covering not just multifamily housing situations, but also lodging accommodation outbreaks as well, and it certainly pertains to pest control operators as well as property managers. But I want to spend a few minutes here on what Jersey City has done over the last few years, because actually what Jersey City has done has actually been a main driver for subsequent activity in a number of other states. In 2007 or so, there were a number of large bed bug outbreaks in multifamily housing units, buildings throughout Jersey City. And the folks that were living in those tenants were very upset because the cost of treating bed bugs was being passed on to them. See, in New Jersey, the law actually permits landlords to pass along the cost of the bed bug treatments to the tenants. And that the tenants were saying, I got an infestation through no fault of my own, and now I'm being stuck with a very exorbitant bill that I cannot afford. So Jersey City lawmakers, members of the city council, quickly passed an ordinance in 2008, September of 2008, essentially putting the financial onus of bed bug treatments on the landlords, on the property managers. In 2010, they updated that ordinance and put even more financial burden on the landlords to pay for bed bug treatments. But through the Jersey City ordinance in 2008, the original one, on the heels of it, Jersey City state lawmaker in New Jersey introduced statewide bed bug related legislation that assigned specific responsibilities to landlords, tenants, and pest control operators for the management and prevention of bed bugs. Now, the consideration of this bill involved a lot of stakeholders, including New Jersey Apartment Association, New Jersey Pest Management Association, and many, many others. But I think the key aspect of this legislation is really served as a model for other states, including Pennsylvania and Arizona and Maine, which actually passed the law, and I'll get into that. Now, the New Jersey legislation has passed the state assembly a couple times, but it has not yet passed the Senate, where it's currently pending now. So we'll have to see if it eventually does pass the Senate. But it is just one of a number of bed bug related bills that is pending in New Jersey. But I really want to spend a little bit of time talking about Maine, because Maine actually passed the most comprehensive bed bug related legislation since we first saw the bed bug resurgence begin about 10 years ago or so. There's an old political saying that as Maine goes, so goes the nation. I don't know if that's going to hold true for bed bug legislation, but certainly this is a notable piece of legislation that I'm sure we will see copycatted across the country. But in a nutshell, the bill does assign specific responsibilities to landlords, tenants, and pest control operators, and I'm going to walk through some of those responsibilities. First, the the landlord has to inspect the unit within 5 days of being told by the tenant that there is a possibility of infestation. Within 10 days of determining there's an infestation, the landlord has to contact the pest control operator. Then they have to take reasonable measures to begin treating for the infestation, and the landlord must employ a pest control operator who has current liability insurance. The landlord also has some right-to-know obligations. The landlord has to inform a prospective tenant whether or not an adjacent unit is being treated for bed bugs. And then upon request, the landlord has to inform the prospective tenant when the last date the unit in question was inspected for bed bugs, and whether or not the adjacent unit was inspected as well. And then finally, and this hopefully is common sense, the landlord may not rent a room that a unit that he or she knows to be infested with bed bugs. A tenant, they too have some responsibilities. They have to notify the landlord as promptly as possible once they discover a bed bug infestation. They have to grant access to the landlord and the pest control operator to conduct an inspection of the unit and then, if necessary, a treatment of the unit. And then finally, they have to comply with reasonable measures to help address the bed bug problem. And if they don't, they are financially responsible for paying for the treatment. And then the pest control operator. The pest control operator has an obligation to conduct an inspection, and really it's a two-tiered inspection in Maine. The initial inspection can't be of the entire unit. There are some sensitive areas of the unit that cannot initially be inspected, but once the pest control operator has reason to believe there's an infestation, then they do have the right to conduct a more thorough inspection of the entire unit. So, Maine really has kind of set the bar, at least so far, so to speak, and I certainly anticipate a number of other states will look at what Maine has done and try to model their legislation after Maine. New York also passed some legislation this past year. Then Governor Patterson actually signed two bills into effect. The first requires New York City schools to notify parents of bed bug infestations at New York City schools. That law will go into effect next school year. Second law that I'm going to touch on is in effect right now, and that law pertains to landlords providing basically a bed bug infestation history to prospective tenants, to the unit in question, as well as the building for the previous year. And the state Department of Housing has already developed a form the landlords are required to use, and I'm certain are using as they speak right now. But certainly this is... I think illustrates what I said earlier about right to know and just how important legislators think the concept of right to know is. And I do anticipate many, many states looking at what New York has done and copying that as far as right to know. One interesting thing about the New York law, even though it's a state law as far as the landlord disclosure, the state legislation actually amends New York City Administrative Code. So that the law pertaining to landlords disclosing to prospective tenants about bed bug infestations only applies to New York City, as does the school legislation. And then Illinois, they also passed some bed bug legislation this summer, establishing a bed bug subcommittee of their already existing Structural Pest Control Advisory Committee. The committee actually is meeting for the second time as I speak right now, February 1st and February 2nd. And basically their charge is to develop a list of findings and recommendations to the General Assembly by the end of this year, which will be used to develop legislation for the 2012 General Assembly session. The state of Ohio has certainly done a number of things related to bed bugs. They have certainly considered their share of legislation. But I think their most prominent activity has probably been in a Section 18 or emergency request that they have submitted to EPA seeking to authorize the use of Propoxer as a restricted use product to more effectively manage bed bugs in the Buckeye State. The request was denied, although I do know that EPA is continuing to look at risk assessments to try to find a use pattern. That they don't feel will pose an unreasonable risk to children. And then two other points that I think are important to note about Ohio. Ohio has established a number of bedbug task force throughout the state, but its state bedbug task force actually published and issued its final recommendations just a couple weeks ago. So certainly that's of note. And then lastly, Ohio has actually used $350,000 of its Medicaid money to pay for bedbug treatments and other types of things to prevent and control bedbugs. The state of Hawaii, they have actually added to their real estate disclosure form a question about bedbugs, and I do anticipate a number of other states following suit, following what Hawaii's done. And then lastly, you know, certainly a myriad of legislation across the country. I'm not going to have an opportunity to go through all the bills, but they range in scope from establishing tax credits to replace disposed items to requiring insurers to have policies that cover bedbug infestations to in Oregon establishing a specific rulemaking for bedbugs at summer camps. So, you know, certainly the old adage, truth is stranger than fiction, applies here. There's no way we can possibly anticipate all the legislation that is going to come down the pipe. But in closing, I really just want to make a couple suggestions that I think would be helpful steps the government can take to address the bedbug problem in the coming years, and those would really be three things. Basically, authorizing a federal bedbug research funding program to build on the great work that USDA and other researchers have already started doing. Secondly, to introduce new products to the market, continue doing that. And then thirdly, to more closely scrutinize some of the claims being made about bedbug products and services. There's certainly a lot of products that are making some dubious claims, and I think that those claims need to be scrutinized a little bit more so consumers don't get the short end of the stick. So with that, I thank you very much.
Thanks, Gene. As promised, a great whirlwind overview of legislation, certainly an eye-opener of the possibilities. We next have a more specific presentation on a particular situation in New York City from Sharon Heath.
Thank you so much. Again, I want to thank everyone for inviting us to speak at this summit. And attending with me at this is Dr. Ed Buzz from the New York City Department of Health. The resurgence of bed bugs in New York City is certainly similar to what has been happening in other larger cities. And we, at the first summit, we looked at the appropriate roles of local health departments, and I highlighted what we had been doing at that time. Today I want to focus on the challenges that New York City is facing and our efforts in combating this threat. And today, certainly, the lessons that we have learned along the way and some of the limitations that are placed on us. The prevailing conditions in New York City present certain challenges. We're a large city. We have a population of over 8 million and certainly a very diverse cultural makeup. The majority of New Yorkers are renters, with two out of three apartments being rental units. Currently, we have over 80% of the population living in multi-unit dwellings. And this, of course, impacts our control efforts. There is a landlord-tenant relationship for us so much that further complicates effective control, because it takes a great deal of cooperation among tenants, landlords, and professionals to really promote effective responses. There are significant resource constraints on landlords, as we know. Landlords in New York City by law are required to have a constraint
on tenants through the separation process and the possibility of certain offices and no personal items. Income tenants are particularly
almost. There is our local government interest.
There is our local government interest.
Have many independent.
They have some of these concerns overlap in the sector.
have to find a way to operate certainly. Then certainly facilitating policy analysis. Also look on regulation and surveillance, outreach and education. Certainly getting more funding, and we're pleased to hear that there are plans in effect to certainly that. Policy and analysis and development. Looking on these, we want to have a meaningful approach to tackle this test. Established a bedbug advisory board in 2009. It was made up of course of experts. We had advocates on there and representatives from New York City agencies. We wanted to look on the current process, trying to come with meaningful recommendations. We had a report April of 2000. We had a recommendation and early treatment options. But even though we had from agencies on the board, we continued to with every single city agency. We wanted to look at their needs and we also wanted to look on their current and areas where we could have further cooperation.
Audio folks, you're getting, she's repeating herself about 5 seconds later. You should check
so
audio.
Regulation and compliance. On that, even before we had huge surges in bed bugs and in the response to other testing systems, we began looking on the current regulations and we wanted to modernize our commitment to integrated pest management. We know that this is a very important aspect. Our housing maintenance code requires premises to be free from pests. And while our health code enables us to direct how this can be achieved, we are currently looking on ways these regulations to promote pest management practices. So our old regulations really to see how best we manage pests in an integrated pest management approach and to promote these stuff. New regulations passed, which is the Business Disclosure Act, requires landlords to disclose information on infestation for potential tenants, and our sanitation department mattress disposal now requires mattresses and in case for disposal. We're now looking for additional tools and our regulatory compliance. Certainly, we have stepped up our research and surveillance. Continue to monitor pesticide use through state data that we also through local law services. It really pertains to pesticide application on properties, certainly to our poison control center. The number of federal cases against the total cases that actually exist. And we included a bedbug prevalence question in our annual community survey. We found that 6.7% of the cases had bedbugs, and the prevalence of bedbug actually followed for other pets. We found that adults in the highest poverty category were more than five times put bedbugs in their homes than those in the lowest poverty category. Certainly for renters, there were twice as likely also see disparities among ethnic groups as well. We plan on continuing this survey every year, and certainly we're looking forward to the information that we'll be doing. Outreach and education, we have really helped agencies cope with bed bugs. We continue to educate service. This is provided, of course, only to city agencies at this time. And we will be conducting detailed training on bed bugs for other agencies that certainly are inspectors and some other we find that education and outreach is a cornerstone of our efforts here in New York City. And certainly we have developed several brochures, and we have the Preventing and Getting Rid of Bed Bugs Safely. It has been widely distributed, and we're really pushing this brochure. And this brochure was developed even before we got board. bacterial there. So this really has really messed up our efforts in educating the public. Over some 200,000 of these in the brochure, and we have also expanded it in several languages. We now have it in 7 languages, and we're looking to have other material that we have also translated. And this brochure that we have recently developed has been used by several other municipalities as well. So the HPD, or Housing and Preservation Department, also has an e-learning tool to further assist the public and the and landlords as well in learning about bed bugs. And we are expanding our website, and we know that EPA has done a tremendous job in expanding theirs as well. Certainly, I think this is a way for us to further help the public in learning about bed bugs. And certainly in development, we have several guidelines that we've been looking at, certainly for the healthcare setting. We have office buildings and, you know, going through the whole list there. And we do want to provide as well information on self-remediation guidance. Know that there are many concerns on how people are responding to bed bugs that almost every day, and we hear so many stories of this. And we wanted to give additional information because we know that some of these groups cannot afford professional help, and they, you know, they're actually panicking, resorting to unsafe practices. But also having bed bugs, and we'll be working with other groups to come up with some meaningful recommendations on this. So what then has been our lesson learned? Bed bugs. And we see that we must have cooperation at all. We need to have even more cooperation than what has been talked about. We hear a lot about this throughout the 2 days that we'll be here. We need more action from the federal and the state, certainly to address regulatory concerns as well as educational needs. We need to be. I'm glad to hear that we're going to have a clearinghouse and to expand on that, because I think a lot of municipalities need it. As with other pests, and especially for bed bugs, integrated pest management is the only approach that we think is feasible at this point. And I know we have a good consensus on this. There must be an outreach and education component, any wide-scale strategy. We are pushing to have our brochure available through our outreach efforts, as well as through the inspection and enforcement process. And we are committed to providing even additional information on our website. And I see this as something going forward, because the public really needs good education in order to have any meaningful control. Public learning curve is steep, as some of us who are at the forefront have learned so well. And we have all seen the many articles in the media that drive our responses. We have to respond to these in addition to even overcoming established beliefs and to provide information that we hope will be adopted. And sometimes we have to keep repeating the same thing, but that's what we're here for. We cannot ignore the health impact of bed bugs. And, you know, we have seen that even though we reassure the public every day that they do not cause or transmit any disease, we have to acknowledge that there are some health impacts here as well, and as municipalities, we have to do that. Health departments have to acknowledge these and certainly have to try and alleviate the fear that is out there. And in closing, we wanted to touch on the limits of local government and just, you know, our limits in terms of trying to control this pest. There are limitations on local government. We unfortunately bear the brunt in responding to the public. We have no regulatory authority except for the entities that we regulate and through our permitting process. And we tread carefully as we cannot go afoul of state or federal regulations. For the general public, we cannot impose restrictions on the use of certain pesticides. And we can't dictate specific treatment plans by pest management professionals, even though we see and hear of instances where, despite the best efforts to follow label directions, there are risks to non-target sites, and through this is through pesticide exposure. And then, you know, there's a wide variation in the quality of pest control services, certainly through the pricing for these services. We're limited in our influence on these services, and we can only do this through purchasing of service and through our permitted entities, such as, you know, the entities we permit, such as childcare institutions and maybe some restaurants and so on, and for those receiving violations. I want to end here by saying that we do have budgetary constraints, and I've seen enormous increases control budgets, both for the public and private sections. We have to come up with even more funding for special need populations. This is really the crux of the matter here. For those people who can afford pest control services, that's one battle won, but what about those areas of the population that we really need to zone in on, because we know these can be serious reservoirs for bedbug infestation. And it's critical that we explore even additional funding sources to help municipalities deal with bedbugs. Again, I'm very happy to hear that EPA and other agencies are looking to have additional grants for this, but certainly we need to see what other funding is out there. Again, I want to thank you for having us here to share what we've been doing in New York City, and we're certainly looking forward to the rest of the events for the 2 days that we're here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. That's quite a summary of the challenges involved, and we all share some level of hope that we can overcome some of them. Our next speaker is Liza Fleason, who will actually cover two topics, one a state level, one level up program from Virginia, and also a summary of the efforts of the Association of Structural Pest Control Regulatory Officials. Liza.
Good morning. It's certainly a pleasure to be here today. As all the speakers have said, this the issue with the resurgence of bedbugs is truly requires a cooperative and collaborative effort. I like to say we're all on the bedbug highway. We may be in different lanes, but we have to merge together sometimes, and sometimes, you know, we diverge, but we're all trying to get to that final goal, which is control and prevention. I used to use the word eradicate, but the more of these that I attend, most people say that's really not realistic at this particular point. It really is a pleasure today to be here to talk about the state approaches. As I was introduced, I'm Liza Fleece, and I'm the program manager for the Office of Pesticide Services at the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, which is a big mouthful. But I represent here today state lead agencies. In every one of our states, there is some lead agency that takes care of pesticide regulation at the state level. We're co-regulators with the Environmental Protection Agency. Most of us work under some type of cooperative agreement and have primacy for pesticide regulation. And what I'm going to talk about today is I'm going to talk about efforts at the state level from two different perspectives. First, I'm going to talk on behalf of the Association of Structural Pest Control Regulatory Officials, or ASPCRO. It's been my pleasure to serve on their board of directors since 2008, and I'm actually co-chair of their bedbug committee. I can honestly say 5 years ago I never would have thought I would have said those words anywhere, nor did I think I would rip apart my hotel room or freak out when I sit in a taxi or a train or any other public transportation. And I did go to the movie Sunday, and let me tell you, before I sat down, I had that moment of, oh, God, okay, don't freak out. Just sit down, enjoy the movie, and, you know, and go from there. So I'm going to talk about what that national association is doing, and then I'm going to bring it closer to home and talk about what my agency has had the opportunity to do through some funding through the Environmental Protection Agency and our education and outreach efforts. First of all, just real quickly, ASPCRO is the National Association of State Lead Agencies that regulate pesticides. In every state, there is some group that certifies pesticide applicators, those folks that make commercial applications, licensed businesses, and register products at the state level. We're also the folks that are out there doing the inspections and investigations, enforcing the pesticide label, which we all know the label is the law. Most of us are located at departments of agriculture, although in some states you may find this agency with the Department of Environmental Conservation or Environmental Protection, but for the most part we're with our departments of agriculture. This particular group, ASPCRO, is focused on the structural pest control issues. We work cooperatively with national, state, and local governments. We work with extension and very heavily with the regulated industry. We have realized over time that while we're regulatory experts, we're not the regulated industry experts. That's for groups like the National Pest Management Association. We're not researchers. I'm not a bedbug expert. I've sat through a lot of classes, but I'm not the expert, and I need those researchers. So we're just one piece, you know, in that puzzle. And, of course, as an association, we support research, education, and effective regulatory actions. You know, we've heard a lot about legislation. I think some of it's great. I wish we could just tell bedbugs you're not allowed to be in this state and just regulate them right out, but that doesn't work. But we do believe that there is some effective legislation, and one of the things, you know, that we get to do is is to weigh in on that as a group of states coming from our respective area of expertise. It's interesting, most of the groups that I've heard talk today said they were formed in 2009. Well, the Bedbug Committee for APSCRO was also formed in 2009. Myself, along with Matt Beal out of Ohio, co-chair the Bedbug Committee, and you can see the members here. We have representatives from the regulated industry, registrants, as well as state lead agencies, as I said, those folks that regulate. And basically what we want to do is assist state lead agencies. We're here as a national association for them and the Environmental Protection Agency and any other stakeholders. You know, we recognize there's a reemergence, a resurgence, I've heard it called a pandemic for the bed bugs. We, too, like to facilitate dialogue. Sometimes states are in a unique position to liaison between different groups. And, you know, we bring a different type of expertise. We want to try to identify data gaps and mechanisms to gather data. There's a lot of data out there, but there's a lot of data that's not out there yet. And so we're trying to identify those and see what we can do to assist there. We want to provide a clearinghouse for our state members. To type in bed bugs on Google, you would get a bazillion and a half hits of things. Some is really good and some is really bad. I was looking at bed bugs just yesterday, and there's this whole website that just says it's illegal immigrants that have caused this problem. And it was just pages and pages and pages. Now, good, bad, or other, but that's what you can get, you know, pretty easily. And so we want to be a clearinghouse for our state lead agencies, as well as the general public, to say these are some sites that are ground truth, they're good. For example, the EPA's website, ground truth, that's a great site to be. I know there's some pest management companies that have some great sites. There's researchers that have great sites. We want to be able to do that. And, of course, we want to keep abreast of legislation to see what's going on out there and to keep our, you know, ears to the ground about what's happening. I want to let you know a couple of the activities that the Bedbug Committee has participated in since its inception in 2009. One of the first things we did was the National Pest Management Association did a bedbug survey in 2010. And we assisted in that, and we went to our licensed pesticide businesses, our applicators, because we have direct contact with those folks as we regulate them, and encourage them and said, please answer these questions. Let us hear from you so we know what you're seeing out there. The National Pest Management Association also allowed us to ask a question on that to pest management professionals to say, what can we as state lead agencies do for you? And I know a lot of people, when you hear government, you don't think they're here to help, but we really are. And we wanted to know from the pest management folks, from those folks who regulate, what we do. And the things we heard were about, we need consumer outreach and education and industry training and regulations and product registrations. And so a lot of our activities and dialogues are focused in that area. We have standing committees, APSCRO committees, for example, the Bedbug Committee is one. We've also participated with NPMA in their Blue Ribbon Task Force, which is focused on bedbugs. And I know you're going to hear more about that. Gene mentioned Ohio Section 18 for Propoxer. APSCRO did assist in that development, you know, gave our comments. As Gene said, you know, it was not approved. However, we have maintained an ongoing dialogue. We have offered our services. If there's any way that we can perhaps assist in collecting data, we are happy to do that. On a more home front, we also developed and put out their inspection protocols for pesticide investigators, those guys and gals that are going out into these homes and inspecting and looking at misuse situations. We don't want them taking them home or bringing them to the office or anything else, so that's another activity that we've done. Currently, we have two things that are going on right now. One, we're in the final stages of completing a survey of state lead agencies or SLAs. We want to find out what states are doing, what their particular issues are and their activities, and possibly fill in some of those data gaps, for example, use and misuse. We know that there are misuse cases. We hear about them here and there, but right now we don't have a great mechanism to collect all that data, so we're going to be sending out a survey. Another thing in the survey is we're going to say, what kind of resources do you have? I've heard from, you know, just the folks who've talked today, EPA's got a website, New York has materials, NPMA has materials, Virginia has materials. That's great. Let's somehow pull all those together, figure out what we have, and not reinvent the wheel. If I've got fact sheets, why do you need fact sheets? Maybe you can have something else or vice versa. So that's another thing we want to do. And this survey was also in association or in cooperation with the Association of American Pest Control Officials, which is called APCO, and with the EPA Federal Bedbug Task Force. And that survey will be going to them shortly for their review prior to us sending it out to the 50 states. The other thing we're doing is we're currently doing a label language review. We know that there are products that are registered that list bed bugs on the label. We also know that label language can sometimes be confusing or not as clear, and because bed bugs haven't been kind of in the forefront of everybody's brain, there may be some opportunities for the label language on a product to be improved to allow it to be more usable. And so one of the things we've done is we've done an initial review of the 205 products that list bed bugs. We're grouping those, and we're going to see if we can make some kind of recommendations for possible label improvement and see if we can assist folks in that way. In addition to the things we've already done, we also have a number of ongoing committee discussions. These are things that we're talking about now and seeing if we can influence or if there's anything that we can do to support these efforts. Now, we've talked about the EPA's risk assessment process, and let me just say that we believe in the process. We couldn't do our jobs if we didn't believe in what EPA does and their risk assessment process and their decisions for product registration, whether it's approved or not. At the same time, we also feel like it's really important that somehow the consideration of the risk of not registering products be brought into the picture. As a state lead agency, one of my greatest concerns is pesticide misuse. When you have somebody who has problems.
The leader has muted your line.
And we feel like it's really important that somehow that be taken into consideration. And then also the decontamination part of that. If there is a misuse and now you have to decontaminate, you are now exposing somebody to that, to those pesticides through having to go through that decontamination process. The thing of concern, and we've heard it mentioned, are the health issues. And a lot with this is mental, not physical. You have folks that will be sure that they have bed bugs. Dr. Dini Miller always says, when you get bed bugs in your head, you can't get them out. And so that's a big concern to us. And, of course, with bed bugs, because they're hard to control, this type of situation can just be exacerbated. It can be made so much worse. And so those are some of the concerns that we're discussing and kind of how we can do that. We all know cases of pesticide misuse. How bad can it be? I can think of the 1990s with methylparathion. Have we seen that? Not that I'm aware of, but we have had two recent cases that came out in the Associated Press in August of this year, one in New Jersey. Somebody would apply chemicals that were not approved for indoor use. In homes and apartments, spraying mattresses and children's toys. While no illnesses were reported, you can see what could have happened there. Another case in Ohio, an unlicensed applicator using agricultural pesticide. We had tenants that were sick and hospitalized, and now they are pursuing criminal charges. And these are just two that we know about. And as I said in that survey, we want to get a handle on what else is out there that we aren't hearing about. And then, of course, as a regulator, we also have concerns about the 25B products. Those are that are exempt from the federal registration process. And this is one product that is out there, and it's the best thing ever. It kills everything. You can use it for everything. It's perfectly safe, instant death, et cetera. Well, we have concerns about, as regulators, what the claims are being made. Is there any, efficacy? I see products in Bed Bath & Beyond that are registered for bed bugs. Do they work? I don't know. They might. They say they work. We have a lot of concerns about that. And when you get somebody who is desperate and it costs a lot to hire a pest management professional, they're going to try anything that they can. And they see this. And you know how consumers are. If a cup is good, two cups is better. And so I'm going to, use all that kind of thing. So we have concerns about those types of things. Other discussions are there ways, we know everybody has a limited budget, but perhaps some of the initiatives that EPA is undertaking at this time, is that where their resources should be going? Could some of those be diverted, to this? And then outreach and education, we've heard it over and over. Obviously, there are language barriers. I'm very, happy to hear that there are materials available in different languages, but we also have a literacy issue. What if you can't read and write? It doesn't matter what language you put that fact sheet in. It doesn't matter because I can't read or write. And so those are other things. Are there ways that, we can facilitate some of those? We're, again, concerned about consumer fraud and the efficacy of products. We are also talking with the EPA and amongst ourselves about should there be protocols for the testing of bed bug products to be able to make those claims. And then really the economics, once again, it is extremely expensive. We really support more affordable treatment options, whether it's a combination of treatments or new products. We really need to focus on that because when it costs a lot and you can't afford it, you are going to do whatever you can to get rid of those. And once again, we go back to those misuse, situations. And then finally, other two ongoings are increasing the tools in the toolbox. We heard about that, new chemistries, screening of existing, you know, chemicals. And then Section 18s, we know we've seen Ohio use Section 18 for propoxyphene. Is that the best vehicle? We're talking among ourselves as state lead, you know, agencies and regulators. Is that the best vehicle? Is there another way to go? And then finally, as we said, the multi-level agency coordination. We have so many players, so many stakeholders. We've got local, state, and federal governments. There's no top lead agency, so people are confused. They don't know who calls. They may call the Department of Health, but am I ever going to get the call? And so we really need to, we're trying to talk about how do you do that? Do you do that through your national association? Do you do it by state task force? Perhaps you do it all together. If you don't know your state lead agency in your respective state or who you your state partner is, I recommend you go to www.ASCRO.org. You'll have your contact information for all regulatory officials in all 50 states, and we can be a good resource for what's happening at the state level because, once again, we are the people on the ground dealing with the pest management professionals, which is where a lot of this lies. Now, to move on, I wanted to tell you about what we've done in Virginia at the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. We have certainly recognized that our newest challenge in structural pest control is bed bugs. Not that we know we had a problem or didn't, but we knew we didn't know very much about it, and we really didn't have a handle. So to rise to the challenge, the first thing we did was we educated ourselves so we could educate others. We read everything. We went to every training we could. We listened to every webinar and seminar and everything else. We, of course, are involved in national discussions in ASCRO and other organizations, and we also sought opportunities. And one of the things we were able to do was receive discretionary funding through the EPA in the amount of about $75,000 to host a series of bed bug forums throughout the state of Virginia. We were able to offer these at no cost to participants for those pest management professionals that were licensed or in Virginia, they're certified. We offered recertification credits, and we were able to provide outreach and education materials. We did this through a memorandum of agreement with Dr. Jeannie Miller through Virginia Tech to be our lead expert, and we put together a series of forums and an agenda that included the biology, the health significance of the pest, treatment methods, the challenges of pest management, best management practices. We also, out of this, have developed 13 fact sheets, and they're both in English and Spanish, and these were developed by Dr. Jeannie Miller and her staff. And they go over all the basics, bed biology, how to identify a bed bug infestation, prevention methods, treatment, both chemical and non-chemical. And then there's a series of action plans for apartments and hotels and single-family homes, et cetera. And so we have 13 of these both in English and in Spanish. And this is just, you know, to show you what they look like. They're available on our website, and I'm going to give you that. They were paid for by the environmental protection industry. They belong to everybody, and anybody can use them. If you don't have them and need them, please take them. The forums, when we first did our forums, we did a series of five, what we called the series premiere. We did what we called a bed bug roadshow, and we traveled all around Virginia. We focused on our first series on pest management professionals, apartment management professionals, hotels, and shelters. I'm sad to say that out of all of our participants, we got less than a handful of hotels that were represented. Although we heavily marketed to them, they did not want to participate. But we did get a lot of interest from our housing folks, from the apartments, and again, from the pest management professionals. The second season, we currently have three additional forums scheduled. They're going to focus on shelters and community centers and healthcare facilities. Of course, anybody's welcome to attend any of them, but those are going to be the particular focuses. Just a couple of photos. Part of what we talked about, as I said, were different types of treatments, both chemical and non-chemical. Here's just a photo of Dr. Miller with a heat treatment unit. We also had a demonstration of canine scent detection. We talked about cold and heat and just a whole variety of things. And as I said, all of the attendees received all of the outreach materials, including all the presentations, photos, everything, and they're also all on our website for anybody to look at. Currently, as to date, we've had about 340 attendees. About half of those were pest management professionals. I'm happy to say that the evaluations were great. Most of what I heard was, thank you for the information. I don't, we didn't know this. We need more of that. On our website, we put the first series, the first seven fact sheets out in July of last year, and the next set's about to come out. And to date, we've had 78,000 fact sheets downloaded, which I am just so happy, you know, to say that at least we've gotten that information out. And once again, they're available to everybody. This is our website. You can go to vdex.virginia.gov/pesticides. Once again, we have a link there that says Bed Bug Outreach and Education Program. These fact sheets belong to everybody in this room. And so if you need them, they are there. They're available to you in Spanish and English. And as Lois said, I know we've talked to her about possibly taking these and putting them even into additional languages. So if this information already exists, once again, let's collaborate and coordinate and not reinvent the wheel. And then finally, if you have any questions, any more additional information about our forums or any of the things or about AbsGro, please feel free to contact me, and I'll be happy to assist you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Liza. Wow, a lot of information. Our final speaker is Susan Jennings, who's going to review the federal efforts on bed bugs.
Good morning. I'd like to thank everyone for coming here today and just give you a little background about this session that I'm going to do right now. We had, you know, as we said, the Federal Bed Bug Work Group was put together in 2009, and when we were talking about the agenda for this program and for this conference, we had a lot of discussion about, you know, what about us? What are our roles going to be, and how are we going to present them to you? And we... each one of these agencies could easily stand up here for 15 minutes apiece and discuss what they do and how it's important and what they can do, what we can all do better together. But rather than doing that, because there was just so much material to pack into the day, we decided that we would consolidate all of our talks into one 15-minute session, which is what we're doing today, and that one of us would present the slides for the remainder of the agencies. And so I'm the one. And I'm going to be presenting these slides that were created by the different agencies. So I didn't create them, and I'm not intending to represent these agencies. But as I go through, I'm going to introduce them, and they're going to stand up, and then you will know who they are. And these are just highlights, and we're going to be here for 2 days. And feel free to talk to any of us and discuss this, anything you see in more detail. So, again... 2009, I think we've covered that. Again, I'm going to list these members just because I think repetition helps a little sometimes. CDC, Department of Defense Armed Forces Pest Management Board, EPA, HUD, NIH, two arms of USDA, and the Department of Commerce, which is our newest member and really has only been involved for about a month or two. So we try to treat them nice still. And then we have one of our major roles is to foster communication across the federal agencies. Prior to organizing this work group, there was some communication. I won't say there wasn't any, but it was not. It was very scattered, not even as needed, I would just say, as was convenient. And this has provided us with an open venue to have regular communication on a myriad of topics and has been, I think, very effective. And I think the products that we've all created have been more effective and more efficient than if we had been working in isolation. Okay, now, the first agency I'm going to discuss is USDA Agricultural Research Service, which is represented by Dr. Dan Strickman and Dr. Mark Feldlaufer on the work group. They participate. They have one FTE, full-time equivalent, which is Dr. Feldlaufer, and they have spent per year over $370,000 on researching and working with bed bugs. It's involved in the National Program 104, which is veterinary medical and urban entomology. And Dr. Feldlaufer's lab is the Invasive Insect Biocontrol and Behavior Laboratory in Beltsville. And again, his bed bug work started in 2009 in response to stakeholder requests. The research objectives in that lab are behavior-modifying chemicals such as repellents and attractants. He's investigating toxicants, existing chemistries, new chemistries, and technology. And in the hope, and I hope I'm characterizing this correctly, Mark, but is to ultimately, if he identifies a good quality, something that works well, is to actually transfer that technology to the to an industry partner, so that they will not be the, you and USDA is not going to hold on to that forever. And then for the National Institute of Food and Agri, I forgot to ask. Well, Mark, you want to stand up so people can know what you look like? Thank you, Mark. And then we have Herb Bolton over here from the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture. And his their unique mission is to advance knowledge for agriculture, environment, human health and well-being, and communities by supporting research, education, extension programs. And I think that Dr. Nippling covered that fairly well in his extremely well in his welcoming remarks. They don't perform the actual research, but they rather fund it at the state and local level. Land-grant universities have used the NIFA Hatch Act formula funds to support bedbug research on biology and behavior and a number of other activities. The North Carolina State University studied the sources of bedbug infestations and patterns of dispersal on a NIFA competitive national research initiative funding. And they've, and other land-grant universities have also used the NIFA-Smith-Lever Act competitive funds to include bedbug education and outreach in their state IPM extension program. Now, the NIFA IPM centers have been, NIFA is funding IPM centers in different parts around the country, and they've done education, research, and outreach projects and bedbug working groups. The NIFA competitive program, Pest Management Alternatives, provide support for development and implementation of IPM practices, tactics, and systems for specific pest problems while reducing human and environmental risks, including human health. A number of these slides are going to have websites on them, and I'll just let you know that the slides after this conference will be available on the docket that was established, and it'll be the same docket that was established for the 2009 Bedbug Summit. Okay, now I'm going to move forward to the Armed Forces Pest Management Board, which is represented by the esteemed Dr. Harold Harland. Their role is to ensure that the deployed combat forces have the most effective disease vector control and pest management capabilities to prevent adverse effects on troops, weapons, systems, supplies, equipment, and installations using environmentally sound techniques with maximum risk reduction. The Department of Defense has had bedbug infestations, which have been very similar to those in the surrounding communities where these installations are located. And they found that this is true whether or not it's family housing, on or off base, barracks, et cetera. It's equally representative of the surrounding community. What is remarkable is that they have had no highly resistant populations reported yet in any of the DOD facilities, which is very interesting. And once a bedbug infestation is detected, it's usually addressed promptly and effectively. And sometimes they have unique situations that require innovative techniques or very labor-intensive efforts to control the bedbugs. And basically, the Armed Forces Pest Management Board acts as an information resource regarding bedbugs. And this is a part of their webpage, which is largely publicly accessible. And they do have some very interesting information on there. You can search over 200,000 articles that are in PDF format. They have a technical guide 44, which addresses bedbugs, importance, biology, and control strategies. And they also have an image library. So if you're looking for images of bedbugs and presumably other pests, that would be the place to go. Now I'm going to move on to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is aptly represented by Rachel Riley. And HUD has activities that they have established an internal bedbug committee under their internal Healthy Homes Task Force. They have in fiscal year 2009, they had a Healthy Homes Technical Studies grant to Rutgers University for bedbug research on low-cost monitoring strategies. and they use a framework of integrated pest management and provide technical assistance and education. HUD activities also include identifying resources for HUD stakeholders, and they have a video that they've generated, which is available from the Office of Public and Indian Housing, and again, there's another website. They identify and share best practices with the housing community, which is the What's Working for Bed Bug Control and Multifamily Housing document that was published, I believe, in 2010, early 2010, and then the New York City Council's recommendations document. HUD's national activities also include the fourth year of integrated pest management training project to public housing authorities through an interagency agreement with USDA. And they're planning to scale this up more starting in fiscal year 2011, which is right now. And it includes technical assistance. And several agencies have participated in the curriculum development, and it includes bed bugs in the public housing authorities' IPM plans and pest control contracts. Now we move on to EPA. Our strategy for EPA is to focus on the encouragement of the development of new tools, because we recognize that they're important in bed bug control, integrated pest management efforts, because integrated pest management will make those tools more effective, education and outreach to encourage appropriate control techniques, and discourage misuse, which is the flip side of encouraging appropriate use, and coordination and output with our federal partners, including research activities. Now, some of the methods, I don't want to be redundant with what Lois said earlier, but, you know, we are encouraging new registrations. We're pretty much doing anything we can possibly do to encourage these registrations of new products. We're improving, looking at improving the efficacy evaluation for bed bugs, and, again, we're collaborating with Dr. Feldlaufer at USDARS. We recognize that IPM is critical, and much of our communications materials that we've generated in the past year in response to recommendations from the previous summit have been very heavy on promoting IPM and trying to encourage people to look at this bed bug problem. It's very easy to react with a knee-jerk reaction and do things that may not be in your best long-term interest. We also have the PESP pre- and STAG grant programs and have been funding different educational and outreach activities, and a little bit of research as well. Again, solid education and outreach is critical. I think we've already covered that some today. We have, and again, we've issued our webpage. We have the joint statement with CDC and several other publications. The RFP, $550,000. We should be making those awards shortly. We've awarded over $125,000 in grants between 2008 and 2010 to bed bug activities, and again, planning on a clearinghouse. As far as new tools go, expediting, working to find new things, beating around on the bushes, and improving the efficacy guidelines so that when we register something, there are less questions about its efficacy. We're very comfortable with the efficacy of these products, at least the data that is being submitted. Now we have the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm going to talk a little bit. Our representative on that is Captain Mike Herring from the CDC. CDC's involvement has been collaboration with other federal partners through the Federal Bed Bug Work Group. They are a source of education and information dissemination, and I can tell you from experience that what CDC says carries a lot of weight with the public. So we really appreciate their support in some of these activities. The environmental health workforce, their development training for environmental health professionals, it's very important that we have an educated and professional environmental health workforce and a resource for basic entomology, pesticide resistance, and IPM. One of the health department challenges is that many of the health departments are just overwhelmed by bed bug complaints. They're not funded to adequately respond in general, to adequately respond to these bed bug complaints. They were not set up organizationally to handle the bed bug situation, and it's been overwhelming for many of them. They handle it by default. It's not necessarily a mandated service. And it is, and also in recent years, there's been a loss of vector control programs in general and pest control capacity at both the state and local levels. They have seen a severe loss of state and local environmental health professionals due to ongoing economic crisis. There's been a loss. It sometimes is seen as something that people are willing to forego in the short term, and then it somehow never gets reinstated. And it's been a very significant loss over the last few years. And lastly, there's an inability to charge fees for vector pest abatement services. So someone calls, has a terrible bed bug problem. What are you going to do about that? So IPM bed bug training is greatly needed. And they have stepped into that void and have created a course to help promote the use of IPM to public health, environmental health professionals throughout the country, and it is available on their webpage, and they also have a live version that they take around to different communities, and they tailor it to the needs of that community. And it's a very, very good course, so if you have not seen that, you should really look for it on their webpage. And then here's a list of some other environmental material. So the bedbug work group, what do? We coordinate the federal response. We provide a single portal to the federal government for stakeholders, state and local governments. This, I think, is something that we could even do more effectively. We've worked a little with ASTRO, and we are here and willing to talk with people if they, you know, if you're unsure of where to go, it's really a good one-stop shop. We have collaborated both formally and informally. The CDC-EPA joint statement, the bibliography of research articles, which was published on the Armed Forces Pest Management Board website, and those are all formal collaborations. But informally, you know, we have sought bedbug input, the bedbug workgroup input on a number of EPA products, and it has been very helpful because we can get to where we need to be with these things very quickly, and I think it's helped us all across the board. Every one of these agencies comes at this problem from a different perspective. We have housing, health, pesticides, education, outreach, just different perspectives, and it really helps to have a group where we're all coming together. And lastly, we have reducing bedbug infestation requires collaboration, and it cannot be done in isolation. Everyone in here has a role to play, or you wouldn't be in the room. We have local organizations that combat it on a community level, states and local governments for legislation support and structure. Federal government facilitates information exchange, encourages research, and promotes safe control. And the national strategy that we're going to begin today should provide a great framework for these collaborations, and we're looking forward to the next couple of days. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed, and thank you, Susan, for covering such a wide area in a really concise manner. I have scheduled 5 minutes to review with you all the some ideas on topics within the discussion groups. So I'll go through these quickly. These ideas came from our group sitting right here in discussions. And before I forget to say it, I guess we'll reconvene at 11 o'clock, right, Susan?
11:05.
A few minutes after 11. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, Kristen. Since the government group covered all aspects of the bedbug problem, under education and communication for the general public, we discussed something that's really common to all four topics, which is what should be the government role in this area. After all, the government doesn't need to do and shouldn't do everything, so that defining what it should do is really quite important to us. Who should be at the table to discuss these issues? Is the Federal Bedbug Working Group is an attempt to bring the people who are willing, the agencies that are willing, but is it complete? Are there others who should be involved? A topic that's been brought up is how to communicate to the public that information is reliable. I think this is obviously a perennial concern, but are there things that we can do to make that work better? And finally, what are the meaningful partnerships needed to educate and communicate with the public? We throw around the terms educate and outreach And there are professionals who will be talking in the next session who may add some more definition to that, but there's a whole field of endeavor around that. Dealing with the professionals, the pest control professionals, sectors dealing with bed bug control and prevention, in addition to some of the topics mentioned before, there's probably a lot of room for developing stronger partnerships between the pest control industry, whether at the company level or at the organization level, and the government. And, of course, a meeting like this is part of an attempt to do that. Another item identified by this group was how do we involve the individual more constructively with the PCO and with the effort. I think the term IPM is kind of thrown around as an attempt to do this, but at the end of the day, we need specifics on how what the individual really can do to try to help the PCO help him and also help himself or herself. Under research, besides the kind of obvious topics of who should do what and being in the research business myself, where the money comes from, seems to be we're always asking that question, is how to coordinate, organize, and focus the research and its results. It's this is a very common problem in ARS where we do what we think is very valuable research and at all the levels from basic to applied, and I'm sure many of the folks in here are involved in that kind of work. But how do you actually get that to a usable form? And I think at the operational level, there's always some frustration over those connections. And that's true not just of bed bugs, but in all fields of applied research. So that ideas on how to make that happen would be very welcome. Finally, on strategies for control at a community and institutional level, in other words, above the just simple household level, who should be at the table to discuss these goals, as mentioned? Getting a realistic threshold of tolerance. This is a very controversial topic because we all want no bed bugs, but it's probably an idea worth discussing. What is a tolerable threshold? Especially in a large building, you may not ever completely eradicate them. Again, how can individual participation be encouraged? What's the role of building codes? It's part of the legislation question. And mandatory actions with regard to products like mandatory encasement of mattresses before disposal. Is there room for more of this? I think especially with building codes, similar to what we do with termites. And finally, how do we achieve continuous and useful communication on this problem, which isn't likely to simply go away? How do we continue this dialogue in a constructive manner so that as people find new solutions, these can be rapidly disseminated to those who need them? So with that, I'll end and turn it over to Kristen. And thank you very much for your attention. I hope you found the session as interesting as I did.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We're going to take a 15-minute break. So we'd like to ask, it's 10:50 right now. We'd like to ask everybody to be back in their seats by 5 after 11. And if you are a panelist on the next panel, if you could get here just a little bit early so we can get you seated before we start, that would be great. Remember, there are bathrooms on both sides.
Right, and have it somewhere. Yeah.